Okay, hey, welcome to Off Leash Podcast with Dr. Pete. I'm Dr. Pete. I'm glad you joined our show today. Just remember, we're here to be advocate for your pet, so we're going to give you this straight scoop on everything we know.
All right, and I am the co-host, Molly Van Brinken. Let's get right into it today with Old Dogs, New Tricks. What do you got for us, Dr. Pete?
Well, Old Dog, New Tricks, you know, we've talked a little bit in the past about this new respiratory disease in dogs, and it looks like the new disease is the old disease, except with a pneumonia component. So as best I can tell, and what I'm hearing from everybody at the veterinary lab, is that this is probably just Bordetella or mycoplasma or parainfluenza or all these things that dogs get. And in this case, some of these dogs, it set up the table for bacterial things to come in that have been pretty profound. And that's about what this is. So it is really just the same old stuff with kind of a twist on the bacterial end of stuff. And just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about is when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm. We have cattle that my dad would bring in, and they'd come in and they'd get IBR or some of these shipping fever complex is what they called it. And it was a viral thing where what would happen is eventually they'd develop something called Pasteurella, which is a bacterial thing. And they really died of the bacterial thing, but it wouldn't have ever happened if it hadn't been for the virus setting the table for it. So
why do you think that so many people are so worked up over this?
Well, I think it was a different bacteria this time. So, you know, we talked a little bit about using this drug that everybody's afraid of called chloramphenicol. And we had a couple of these come in and we used chloramphenicol and boom, it was all done.
All better.
Yep. And for anybody, if there's any young veterinarians listening to this, chloramphenicol doesn't need to be positioned in your clinic right next to the euthanasia solution because it's not that dangerous. You just have to use gloves when you use it. It's a dangerous drug for people to take, and I think that's always the fear that somebody's going to go ahead and buy this drug, and then their dog's better after they get done with half the tablets, so they leave the tablets laying around. It causes bone marrow dyscrasias, you know, where your bone marrow's shot if you take too much of this stuff. So it is kind of dangerous if people take it, but dogs and cats have a little bit of problem with it, but dogs don't have much of a problem at all with it.
Wild.
Yep.
All right, so we did a terrible job of introducing our guest today.
I know, you didn't say
anything. Ben is on with us today. Ben is an employee at Voyager Dog Food Company. I think you've been on one. You've hopped on the few podcasts.
Yeah, I was on one of the first ones.
Yes, but he is joining us today. I'm going to toss this next segment over to you, Ben. Canine Chronicles. You're always very connected to what the news is in the dog world.
Sure.
What's going on in the dog food world? You have anything for us?
Yeah, so I guess probably the newest thing is the AFCO and the FDA came out where they're asking clients or customers or pet owners to reach out about what they thought about the copper requirements and if they had any feelings or suggestions, pros or cons, about adding a copper maximum number. So kind of all the stuff that's right in our wheelhouse here.
Yep. You know, I have some thoughts about that. I think, and I think the people that I've worked with, Dr. Tweed, Dr. Sharon Senator, familiar with Dr. Lidberry, some of these people that are really experts, boarded internists, I think they're the ones that really ought to you know, dictate the commentary on this and how it ought to happen. And for some reason or another, we have people that are involved in other industries that really don't have much to do with this. And they sometimes are the ones that with the swaying votes one way or the other as to what they're going to do here. I think you're just going to have to, you know, they always talked about more research. Well, that's exactly what's needed. And I think some of us are doing a little research right now. So we'll see how that all turns out. But it really should have been on the shoulders of the big boys in the dog food business. They, you know, they have budgets for that sort of stuff. And I'm kind of disappointed to a certain extent that they haven't done more, you know, to enlighten the rest of the world about it. So I think you're going to see some here. I'm not sure when it's all going to happen, but
right.
I think that you know what's going to hit the you know what. So
well, it's just interesting, the whole thing in general, where they're putting it out there for the consumer who in most cases isn't very familiar with even the topic.
Right.
It's just I don't know. It's surprising that the people that should know the answers aren't the ones handling it. They're reaching out to the customer who doesn't necessarily right. have all the facts to see what their opinion is to base a judgment call that is ultimately a really big decision in the pet food world.
Well, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, and it's nice if clients weigh in, especially the clients who have already had this problem. But in many cases, it's like asking a third grader, what do they think of steak tartare? You know, they've,
right.
you know, they've never had it. So So you're asking people who've never had it to weigh in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have had it, they're the ones that are angry as hell. They ought to have, if you've ever been involved in a publicly traded company, they have a voting stock and non-voting stock. And so the voting stock ought to belong to the people who've been through this. The internist, the group of people in this room, you know, that sort of thing. And then there's the non-voting stock that people have heard about it from their neighbor's cousin or something like that. And so they really haven't had that experience. And so it's really difficult for them to, you know, you really shouldn't be allowing them to deal the cards.
Right.
No.
If that's what's going on. Well, and Molly, we should make sure at least like down at the link below, or if we use this for social media clips, like leaving a link so, you know, our customers, anybody that's watching this, they are the right people that should be reaching out and voicing their opinion and giving their kind of two cents on it. We should make sure we open that up and get that out to as many people as possible that might see this.
Yes, we will connect the link on our Facebook and hopefully Instagram page.
Well, because if people haven't been working with this, they'll call and say, well, if you think it's dangerous, I don't want it in my dog food. And the people have lost dogs and stuff. They want to castrate somebody. You know,
yeah.
they're angry as the devil, and they'd like to have their ounce of justice or whatever you call
pound
it.
Pound of flesh.
Yeah, they'd like somebody to pay the price for this. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody's going to pay the price for it, except it's going to be a little expensive for everybody to redo their formulas.
Yeah,
that's no big deal. It should have been done a long time ago.
Well, for all the Voyagers listening, I know that everybody wants the best for their dog and
sure.
They want the healthiest option.
Yep.
And it's just knowing where your dog food's coming from and what's going into it. And
well, yeah. In fact, there could be something else we're putting on our dog food right now that's a problem. We just haven't figured out what that is. But
yeah.
We figured this out. Not myself, but, you know, Cornell, Michigan State.
You had a good
good
indication of that, though.
Yeah, and Colorado State, I mean, they've all figured it out. And they know what the answer is. They just, it's like watching Jeopardy and nobody gets the right answer. And so.
Well, the one thing that always shocks people when I talk to them is where their dog food company is owned by. I don't know if you saw, we posted on our social media where most of the big name dog foods come from. And most of them are Mars and Nestle.
Yeah, Purina.
And I think that shocked a lot of people. I posted that and got so many comments.
Well, they don't realize it's a compilation. And the Mars thing's kind of funny because they sell really good stuff and then they sell some real nonsense.
Yeah.
And,
I just don't think a lot of people see the correlation between candy and dog food.
Yeah. Well, they both can be bad for you, I guess. I don't know, but the candy thing, I mean, I'm not sure why they left the candy world. Probably... You can only eat so much chocolate in the United States, and so...
Well, the pet food industry is $53 billion industry?
Probably really more than that.
Probably just continues to grow and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
So yes. I figured they could have their prone to flesh in the dog food industry.
Yep. Well, and they bought up a lot of brands. I mean,
they did.
I can't remember what all they own. They own everything. Little Caesars, Royal Canin, Iams. I mean, all these things have set up... All these things are really in their stable at this point. So I would think for as much as they've got invested here, they'd probably not want to get caught with egg on their face in regards to copper storage disease.
Yeah, I agree. That's crazy. Yeah, there's quite a few. I'm looking it up right now. Mars owns Eukanuba, Iams, Nutro, Pedigree, Royal Canin, Evo, Caesar. It says 41 dog food brands.
Yeah, so.
Those are the most popular.
They own a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah. Wow. That's
insane.
They're
still one of the, I think one of the granddaughters still lives down in Virginia someplace. She lives near a friend of mine, Dr. Johnson. Yes.
I didn't realize Blue Buffalo is owned by General Mills.
Yep.
Wow.
It is.
I did not know that one.
They paid a lot of money for it. I hope they're doing well with it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
I could never understand the name Blue Buffalo. It's like a buffalo with a really bad heart murmur or something, you know.
I think it was
based
on a dog.
Yeah.
It was based on a dog named Blue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a buffalo.
No. I don't know where the buffalo comes in at.
Maybe he was eating buffalo dog food.
Maybe.
That's why they call him Blue Buffalo.
There you go.
I don't know.
We figured it out.
Yep.
Cracked it. All right. We're going to go into the next segment.
Let's do a little bit of something with more substance, shall we?
Ben is going to give us the client report, which is for all you Voyagers listening that feed Voyager dog food, we always have a great appreciation for our clients tuning in and telling us about how their dog's doing on the food or telling us a story of our dog food helping their dog in some way. And Ben shares them with us from time to time, so we're going to share them with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a pretty good one from her name's Jeannie, and it is a newer customer. And it says, "Hello, I wanted to let you know that our Silver Lab Jolene has been doing very well since we switched her diet to your wholesome farm chicken dog food. About a year ago, she was diagnosed with hepatitis related to copper storage disease. We were advised to switch to a low copper diet. After trying the two big names for low copper dog food, as I'm sure you know, there aren't very many on the market. The first brand had supply issues, and the second brand caused our dog to vomit several times after she would eat it. Then when I discovered your brand, Jolene has had one bag so far, and her patchy fur is starting to regrow, and she's digesting it very well. So I started a subscription today and just wanted to say thank you." And she's got a picture of her dog here, so real cute little Silver Lab.
Can I see?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love the pictures of the dogs.
Absolutely. So not a bad little adult-looking dog there. But, as you know, my parents have a Silver Lab as well, so their dog tend to have some skin issues at times.
Silver Labs have some worse skin issues.
And it seems like our food has always done really well, especially for those dogs that tend to have, you know, as you would know, probably a little bit more issues than others at times.
Didn't spend much time trying to figure out how to make it cheap, just trying to figure out how to make it well. So I think that's the most important thing. Just, use good ingredients.
Yeah.
What do we refer to as well-mannered ingredients?
There you go.
Well-mannered.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then, this is another case where first bag in, they're seeing changes, within that first bag. Usually we see the best results. In two to three bags, you'll really see the best results. So in this case, it seems like it's taken off even a little quicker, which is great to hear.
I say three bags, you see the full transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you're watching them too close. What do they say? Watch pot never boils. And so you're thinking, is he better? Is he not better? Is he better? It's always a nice thing, if they have this chronic hepatitis thing going on from copper, you can see that number improve. So that number will drop from whatever it is, 500 or 600, and lots of times in the first month it may drop 100 points. And so it's just a gradual descent back into the normal numbers.
Exactly. Well, you ready to get into our next segment today?
Sure. Yep.
Rock and roll history. Who are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about Luigi Sacco, which most of you would know better as Lou Christie. And the story in Lou Christie is he was a musician out of Coriopolis, Pennsylvania. He was roommates. He was classmate of one of my roommates, Glenn Marici. So when I moved in with Glenn Marici, we're sitting around and this song came on the radio and I'm like, holy crap, that you went to school with this guy? He goes, yeah, I went to school with this guy. And he says he's pretty short. And I actually saw him I think Las Vegas. And he was pretty short. I don't know how tall he is. But anyway, he did a number of songs. His big hook is he has a real high falsetto voice.
Yeah.
Yep, so... he's a good guy, I guess, and I think he still performs every once in a while. He's a little older than I am, so...
You want me to play one of his songs?
Sure, do that.
That's a really high voice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When would this have came
out? This would have come out in 1964, probably. Two faces have I. And you know what the two faces are? One to laugh and one to cry. And so I think it's a story about... getting the dump job off and on from his girlfriend. So I think that's he's happy, he's sad. He's happy, he's sad. He also got in a little trouble doing Rhapsody in the Rain. And he says that their love went way too far in the back of his car. And he was saying it was like the windshield wipers, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And they outlawed that song in, I don't know, half a dozen cities in the United States, Boston being one of them. But anyway, Lou Christie didn't care because the more they, not plagiarized, but the more they, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Copied?
No. Where they said you can't play it.
The more they outlawed it?
Yeah, outlawed. Yeah. The more they outlawed it, the more kids wanted to buy that. So if it had been... something you could listen to regular on the radio, there wouldn't have been a big deal. But since they couldn't listen to it on the radio, everybody bought a copy of it. So doing that, the windshield wiper seemed to say, together, and everybody knew what that meant. Everybody knew what that meant. So.
And now we have songs like Cardi B.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, anything can be played.
Yeah,
now.
Anything.
Anybody, anything can be played.
You know, they spent. Apparently, the FBI spent a couple million dollars trying to figure out what the words to Louie Louie were.
Why?
Because they thought it was. They thought there was all sorts of stuff in Louie Louie, and so. But anyway, Lou Christie, Luigi Sacco. At Coriopolis High School in Pennsylvania,
huh.
right outside of Pittsburgh, I think. Yep.
Wild.
Yep.
It's crazy to think of what was inappropriate then compared to now.
Yeah, well, I've pretty much seen it all. So, well, not seen it all. Yeah, probably seen it all. Yep.
Yeah,
at least a lot of
heard it all, seen it all. Yep. I'm not going to go into any more senses other than those two right there.
All right, getting into the next segment here is information and peace of mind.
Well, you know,
sell as a veterinarian.
Yeah, what I sell as a veterinarian, I was going to tell you, you know, I get these calls all the time, and I don't get these calls because the receptionist answers the phone now. He goes, "There's a woman on the phone. There's a man on the phone," and the commentary goes like this: "There's a woman on the phone. She says her husband. Of course, it would be her husband did something wrong. Stepped on the dog, and now the dog's carrying his leg." And these tend to actually be usually kind of young puppies and stuff because they don't know enough to stay out of your way. So somebody stepped on their puppy, now he's carrying his leg. Maybe early in my career, I said, well, have him bring him right in. You know, most of the time now I just tell him, you know what, unless you think you've dislocated the elbow or dislocated the hip, I say you just sit on this for a few hours and see if this gets better. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. But there is usually very little that we're going to do other than to get rid of the pain. There's very little we're going to do as far as surgical repair, those sorts of things, in the next 24 hours. So lots of times they come in, and in the old days they bring them. I'd feel a lot better if you took an X-ray. So we took the X-ray, and like 97% of the time there wasn't anything broken. And even sometimes when there was something broken, like in your feet, if you break one toe, we don't put a splint on. If you break two toes, we don't put a splint on. If you break three toes, we put a splint on. Because the splints cause more problems than not when you put the splint on, because it causes pressure sores and mm-hmm. every other damn thing. So most of the time, you know, every once in a while I see a green streak fracture, which means it kind of broke, but it's still together. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of those dogs... Are we going to do something with them? You know, lots of times we'll put, especially if it's on the foreleg or something like that, we might put a splint on then, but a lot of times we don't. We know a green stick, if they're restricted, you know, on their activity for a period of time, those will heal fairly quickly, especially in young dogs. They're on puppy foods. I think most of us know that we heal a lot faster as a child than we do as an adult. And then when you get to be a really ripe adult, it takes forever for stuff to heal, aka the bandage on my hand and yeah. that sort of stuff. But anyway,
was that from basketball?
No, that's actually trimming a dog's nails yesterday.
Oh,
yeah, my skin tears easy now that I'm elderly. But I think that's the thing you have to remember: is that, give it a little time, see what happens. Give it a couple hours. You know, I think that the thing they have the problem with it 3 or 4 in the afternoon, they don't want to wait 2 hours to find out we're closed. They got to go to the emergency clinic. Most of the time, if that dog's reasonably comfortable, you just let them, you don't let them go, but you let them go. I mean, mm-hmm. just give them a little bit of time. And a lot of times, you know, the peace of mind part, they come in, if they really insist upon an X-ray, I'm like, okay, let's just take the X-ray. That's what we sell, information and peace of mind. Here's the information, the X-ray. There's nothing broken. That's the information. Now you feel better, don't you? Yeah, I can sleep better now. They go to bed at night. And lots of times we will send them home on pain meds, but you got to be kind of careful about that because the pain meds make them feel better, and then they go out and run around, and then that makes it worse again. I think we talked about that a little bit with backs and stuff. You know, when your dog hurts its back, we can give you things to make them feel better, but that doesn't mean I want them jumping on and off the bed because they feel better.
Right.
I just want you to be careful with them. Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the thing, fractures. Obviously, if there's compound fracture, the bone sticking through and all that sort of stuff, yeah, you got to bring them right in right away. Get them started on antibiotics, get them started on pain meds, get that fracture reduced and stabilized a little bit, sometimes with bandage material and stuff, and then figure out what you're going to do later that day or the next day.
Ben, you ever have a dog break a bone?
No, not. I don't think breaking a bone. Maybe a tail, but.
Oh. But yeah, because dogs, yeah. Dogs can. How often do dogs break their tail?
I don't know if they break their tail. You know what I do see? I see these dogs that sleep on the bed or the couch, and then your dog likes to have dreams and stuff. And then yeah. They'll move their back legs and stuff, and every once in a while they'll inadvertently push themselves off, and they'll sprain their tail. You know, where when they hit, like you go outside, it's if it's icy, you slip and you hit your tailbone, and almost everybody goes, "Son of a bitch, God dang, that hurt!" And I get that part. And our tailbone's pretty short.
Yeah.
Our dog's a little longer, but you can see it's kind of swollen. They got it down between their legs and everything. And it's like
poor babies.
Yeah. Then we say they need tincture of time. Mm-hmm. So you just need that hand on your watch to go around a bunch more times, and it'll feel better. And we can use drugs to make them feel better at the same time. But yeah, I see that probably as much as anything. A sprained tail. Is it fractured? You know, it can be fractured, but it's pretty rare. It's got a lot of supports there to keep it from actually breaking. I do see cats every once in a while. They get hit by a car and they'll break their tail. And that's problematic because a lot of times it breaks it up so far that they're unable to control their bowels or their urine after that. So
mm-hmm.
But it actually breaks it up, into that spinal cord, into the past the pelvic inlet. And you'll see that. And those are kind of tragic. I always feel bad about those. But,
yeah. But
I get a lot of dogs get their tail caught in the door, and then it's an open wound, and then they wag it, and they make it worse. Some of those dogs will shorten the tail by two-thirds,
right.
A third, or half, something like that, depending on how long the dog's tail is to begin with. You have labs. They have happy tail. They wag their tail and hit you, hit the furniture, hit the wall.
Knock over coffee cups.
Yep, and then we have Bosco, who is a Boykin Spaniel. And I'm not sure he's bright enough to actually realize he's hurt, but
no, he's not.
Yeah, he's a challenge, but he's got a really short tail. So is he going to have a tail injury? Well, he could have one, but he's got to work at it. You know, it's only a couple.
Something tells me that it would not be hard for him to work at it.
No, well, he's a nice dog. I hate to say.
He drowned himself in the pool this summer.
Yeah, speak ill of him. Yeah.
He does laps in the pool
over
and over and over for hours.
Yep.
And then at one point in time, I glance out and he's panicking in the water. And he literally, I think, was exhausting himself to the point where he was going to go under.
Well, I can hardly wait till those two brain cells meet each other and have children. That's all I can say. Once he starts having more neurons, maybe things will get better. But until then, we are blessed with what we're blessed with.
It's so funny with him, too, because he doesn't, you could just look at him in the eye and it's just a blank stare.
You know. Yep.
Not much going on.
Nobody home.
Nobody. Lights are on. No one's home.
And for you people in South Carolina, remember, this is your state dog. And so.
Do you know the history of that dog?
The
history of the Boykin?
No.
There was a, I hope I get this right. I read about the history. There was a church and someone dropped off a dog at the church and someone took the dog home and they named it Dumpy because someone dumped it off. And then they found out that the dog had hunting potential. So they started breeding this dog and it was like a combination between the Chesapeake Bay Retriever, some type of Spaniel. Ben, help me out. What's the other combination?
I'm not sure.
Cocker Spaniel?
Maybe Cocker.
Yeah, this dog will never be on Canine Jeopardy, I can tell you that. He is. He's a... I ran into somebody from South Carolina one time. That's what I told him. I said, I got to know him. He was a really nice guy, really smart and everything. But I worried about how smart he was when I first met him because he came from the same state that made that dog the state dog.
So, I didn't know states had state dogs.
They have state dogs, apparently.
Michigan's state dog?
I have no idea.
Okay, so they were originally bred to hunt turkeys, wild turkeys.
Yep.
I don't know how you would hunt a turkey with a dog.
Just chase it down, I guess.
Yep.
They fly, though.
I know, but...
Well, maybe we need to breed this dog with a goose and he can fly after him.
Here it is. Chesapeake Bay Retriever, Springer Spaniel, Cocker Spaniel, and American Water Spaniel to develop the Boykin Spaniel today.
Boykin.
He is a pretty dog, though.
He is a very pretty dog.
Yeah, he's good looking. End of story.
I'm looking up the Michigan.
Your mother loves that dog.
I know. I don't know why.
Yep. I come home. If I go downstairs to work out, I put gym shorts on. I go down there, and he's got to come down and just lick your leg the entire time he's down there. And you have to push him away, push him away, push him away.
Okay, so
I feel like a salt block.
Michigan has a state bird, fish, reptile, and game mammal, but we don't have a state dog.
Okay. Well, Boykin's already taken, so I guess we're safe. I guess
we have to pick something else.
Chihuahua.
No, we don't.
Well, that's New Mexico, probably.
Yeah, that's probably New Mexico. What would Michigan state dog be if you could pick one?
Well, we got Sparty, the yellow lab at Michigan State.
Yep.
We can't make it a Wolverine, can we?
No.
No. So anyway, yeah, Sparty dog. Probably a yellow lab. Yep.
I like so labs.
Yep. Yellow lab.
It says the most popular dog in Michigan right now is the Golden Retriever.
No, it's got to be the most popular dog in every state.
You know what, though? They got a real problem between the Boxers and the Golden Retrievers. They're the number one and two dog now for it to display cancer later in life.
Really?
Yeah. So that's, you know what? And if you go, and I've been told this, I don't know, this is factual, but if you go to Europe, that line of Golden Retrievers over there has no more cancer than any other dog. But here, what they've done, and I think really what they've done kind of on purpose, but not to get this out of them, because what they've tried to do is make them all the same color, make them all have similar feathering, the same size. You know, so when you start taking physical attributes and then mixing them with the same physical attribute in the opposite sex, this turns out it's like marrying your sister from the orphanage. This is not a good idea. And I think that's, yeah, you start having birth defects when you do that,
yeah.
I suspect. And that's why it's illegal.
Right.
Yep.
I thought at one point in time that the French bulldog surpassed.
Not for cancer.
Labs. No, surpassed popularity-wise. Oh, labs and golden retrievers.
I don't know about that. I think the lab's still the most popular dog. I may be wrong.
I don't know.
And the French bulldogs are fine, except they have a fair, they can't have children without having C-sections.
Yeah.
And things of that nature. And so that's a whole new set of problems. So you have to have access to a veterinarian that's willing to, at all times of the day, go in and do a C-section, which is hard to do now sometimes.
Yes, it is. All right. You ready to move on to our last segment of the day?
Sure.
Labelize. Oh. So I actually researched an all-natural dog treat, but it's a popular all-natural dog treat. So I'm going to read you the label.
Okay.
Organic chicken.
Fine. I don't know if the organic police okayed that, but go ahead.
Organic chickpeas. I think it's funny because they put organic before every ingredient.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that's all about. Organic chickpeas. I mean, chickpeas, I think we talked about what another name for chickpeas is.
Hold on. Garbanzo beans.
Garbanzo beans, that's right. Yep. It's all right. It's a good source of protein.
Organic molasses.
Molasses and molasses.
They want you to know that this is very organic. They can't just put the ingredient names.
Organic salt, organic potassium. You know.
Coconut glycerin.
Mm.
This one's not organic,
No, and this is one word?
Yeah, coconut glycerin.
Okay, it's probably fine.
Sea salt.
It's probably fine.
Organic apple cider vinegar.
Probably fine.
Mixed tocopherols.
That's good.
Ben, say that word.
Tocopherols.
Nope. Tocopherols. He can't say it.
Can't say that one.
I always had a hard time saying Prilosec. I can say it now. And for some reason or other, I went through a two-year stretch where I couldn't pronounce that damn thing. Prilosec.
I still want to hear Ben say it.
Not going to happen today.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And that's the whole treat.
Ben has self-esteem. Let's not go ahead and fracture it.
That's the whole treat right there.
It is. Okay.
Pretty good?
Seems a solid all right. Treat.
You know, I mean, the organic thing, and listen, I'm sure people would feel otherwise about that, but
we all know how your wife would feel about it.
I know, but she's never met the organic police, and that's always the question. You can put that on the front of anything, but I don't think anybody actually gets this certification and then presents the certification to the manufacturer.
It's greenwashing.
Well, it's even the whole thing, if you're running a plant too, if they're making an organic treat, if that whole facility isn't getting clean between your run of your treat versus whoever ran it before or after you, that might just kind of defeat the whole purpose too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we've talked about this before. If it sits well with your dog, then I guess that's fine. But if it doesn't sit well with your dog, not so much. But at least they didn't put copper sulfate or protonaceous copper in it. That was good.
Well, so since this is an okay treat, should I drop the name of it?
No, it's all right.
Is it a soft or a hard treat?
It's a soft treat. I feel like we should tell people if they give them an option.
Okay.
I'm just not going to tell people the bad treats that
we don't like.
That's
a good one. Why not?
Newman's
Own.
Own.
Do you know who that is?
It's
no.
It's a salad dressing guy.
Yeah, wait, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's my
actor,
God.
Paul
it
Newman.
Looks, it looks like it on the...
Yeah, it's Paul Newman. Yeah.
I was looking at the packaging. I'm like, God, I've so seen this before.
Hey, go watch Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I think he was Butch Cassidy. And Sundance Kid was Robert Redford. But Paul Newman was...
Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, famous actor, did a ton of stuff. He's deceased now. He was a race car driver, all sorts of stuff. He'd probably be in his 90s now if he were still alive.
Let's see.
He's married to Joanne Woodford.
He was quite handsome back in the day.
Yeah, he was. Yep.
Well, they have a lot of really cool charitable things about the whole company. All their company donates all of its after-tax profits to charity.
Yep.
They did.
And that's their hook.
They did him dirty on this logo. He looks like a floating head.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, that's how it looks on all of them. It's a good look.
Yeah. Organic snack bites.
Organic snack bites chicken recipe.
And I'm not sure Paul Newman knew what organic really was, but he might have. I don't know.
Who knows?
But I don't think it was a passion with him. I think he makes his own salad dressings, and he makes his own, maybe his own pasta sauce and stuff.
It looks like they're still privately owned too.
Yeah. Yep.
Which always good. Love the privately owned stuff. Yep. Not enough out there.
Yeah, he also did Cool Hand Luke. You guys have probably never seen that movie.
Nope.
Never.
There was a guy in there, the guy who was the warden at the prison. What was his name? Anyway, his thing was always, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And it was a little old guy that was in charge of the prison. It was a real jackass. And... Strother Martin, that was his name, Strother Martin. I can't believe I pulled that up.
That's pretty good.
Strother Martin, but that was an award-winning movie, Cool Hand Luke. It's about a guy that vandalized some parking meters, and he ended up in a prison in the South. And then he kept escaping and getting caught by Strother Martin.
So how'd this guy get into salad dressing?
No idea. I don't think it's anything he developed while he was in prison. Let's just put it that way.
Maybe he thought about it in prison. Maybe there was no salad dressing there.
And there was somebody else in that movie named something Kennedy. Nothing to do with the Kennedys, the political party Kennedys. God, what was his name? Anyway, it was a good movie. You'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was probably shot in 1966 or 65, 66 probably. And award-winning movie.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, is there anything else you want to touch on during the podcast?
No, not really. Other than, I really believe that. I think especially if it's something where you injure your dog and you're around when it happens, and they're limping, I give them, I don't know how long you want to give them, but I give them an hour or two to start to get better. And if they start to get better, let them get all the way better. Every once in a while, people brought him in. And I said, well, it's a good thing you brought your dog in. And they said, why is that? Because I said, he'd have been better in 45 minutes if he hadn't. And that's why I tell him. I mean, you try to educate people and tell them, listen, if this happens again, I mean, this is dogs. They're always under your feet when they're young. They're young, inexperienced. I always hate to say young and stupid, but young and stupid do go together. they do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes old and stupid go together, too. So I've experienced both of those scenarios. So, just take your time on it, and if you want to go in and have an X-ray taken, have the X-ray taken, and you can feel better about it, and you go to bed with a stupid grin on your face, I think that's great.
Ben, anything else you want to touch on today?
No, I think that was a good episode there.
All right.
Well, what do you say we have some outro music, that's what we want. Hey, we're glad you showed up today and listened to us. We talked about some stuff I thought was pretty informational. And just remember, we're just being advocate for your for your pet's good health. Marvin Gaye and I.